That's true.
We'll call the meeting back to order. Councilmember Christensen, continue.
Where was I?
Well, there's a motion on the floor.
There's a motion on the floor. There's a motion on the floor that's been seconded. Councilmember Christensen was talking about the fact that we should bring in Joyce Elk here to come over from the hospital to make a presentation to the Labor Committee.
I believe is where you were.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I was going on. I said I should go back to the Labor Committee. Four people, four council people, and have some discussion with an HR person and show her the list we have here and say, is this impossible? Is it going to take full-time, part-time? I'm not an expert at it, but Joyce is. And she'll probably lead us in the right direction. Maybe she'll say, hey, you got to have a full-time HR. I'm looking at this list. And if she says that, I'm convinced. But I mean, I think that's the proper way to go. We have our other three committees, four people attend them. They get the information. We bring it to the council. And the council, if you read your packets, if you have any questions on it, you call the people that are at the meeting. And we discuss it and pass it at the council meeting. I see nothing wrong with it. And I don't cherish full council committee meetings. Four people didn't do it.
Councilmember Nelson, followed by Anderson, followed by Maskey.
Well, a couple comments. The four people concept, in concept, we don't function that way. So if we think that's going to happen, I don't believe so. And I think in essence of time, we need to deal with this as a council. The first thing I was going to say is that I've listened to Joyce Elkier do her annual HR report at Rice Hospital. And if we don't understand what HR is, then I think each of us on our own need to figure out what an HR person does. Her coming to do a report at the Labor Committee to help us decide, I don't think so. I mean, she does amazing things and she knows hospitals. She doesn't know the city of Wilmer. She doesn't know the structure. She knows HR laws, but so do a lot of people. And if you think that she's going to give us an answer whether we need a full-time or part-time person, I think we need to be accountable for that right here.
Councilmember Anderson, followed by Maskey, and the city administrator.
Thank you for calling the recess, because I was about to have a coronary, maybe. But I take offense to the fact that we would bring in an outsider to talk to us about human resources when we got a person right here, right now, that has 10 years personnel experience in a plant and 3 years as a director at Genio. You know, we hear about all the time, things come up, well, we got to take the builder's expertise and knowledge into account. We've got two of them on the council. You hear that all the time? Well, by golly, I happen to know a little bit about HR. So I take offense that we're going to bring someone from the outside in to tell us what should be done in HR.
Councilmember Maskey.
The reason I think that it probably should go back to the Labor Committee is just process. We today were looking at an administrative services director, which we did not move forward. And now we've changed it to an HR director, and we sit now without a description of what that particular job would entail. We're saying that we're supporting a different position than what is here. And so I think we probably need to define that. I know that you've listed duties that are in here, but not everybody is saying are those fully encompassing duties. So, I mean, I'm comfortable with doing another Labor Committee meeting, and I would hope that we would have our own experts show up as well. We need as much feedback as we can get, but we are creating a new position that was not on our agenda today. And that's the one thing that if you want to keep moving forward, I know there's excitement that we made a step and we want to keep the momentum going, but I think I'm a little ill-prepared because we've created an idea of a position that we don't have anything in front of us for.
Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Mayor and Council, and I too, I've been doing the HR function for 30 years and I feel very qualified and I think I've been very successful in that capacity. And so I do feel like I am an expert in city HR. and I hope that would carry some weight with you. The job description before you is a full and comprehensive job duties of an HR, and so I'm very confident that if this was brought back, I can't think of other duties that I would add to that. What's before you is a more comprehensive solution to some of our issues, and when it's said that we're doing this piecemeal, there's also a request to hire a city clerk in here, and there's a city clerk job description, and the goal hopefully is to get that city clerk hired for the primary election, and that's the reason for the July 1st date. So I think this is a good plan. Hire an HR director. I would recommend doing that as soon as you can, but I also ask that you consider the other recommendations that's brought forward to transfer the duties, treasurer's duties, eventually to the city finance director, and to proceed with that city clerk position so that we can get someone trained when Mr. Halliday leaves. Thank you.
Okay, so we're Councilmember Nelson. We're trying to get us on the vote, and the vote is to bring it to labor.
Yes, and I am opposed to bringing it to labor. I think if we had finished our job when we did the first month's study, we wouldn't be having this conversation now. Reorganization is a full council function, and so if you go sit at labor and you talk about that, now you're going to have to come and explain it to the other four. We're going to have the same questions that we had tonight. I'm asking for the full council to meet to continue this discussion, that we can take additional steps and get done in the most expeditious way, however you want to say it, get it done.
And this was brought to council, this was brought to labor heard it, labor said they wanted to have the full council, so then they pushed it off another 2 weeks to have the full council. So so now we're here at full council, now we're changing it again. So the motion on the table is to send it to labor, that the labor committee discuss it, the position of the HR director piece. Additional discussion. See, Councilmember Meske.
Sorry, wanted to see him none. Are we comfortable with you, because Ron, you were asking about having a person bounce off of some of the job descriptions and having that dialogue. Can we agree that we can move those HR functions that were listed in this other position over into that HR position so we have something to talk about? Because I don't want to rehash out and from ground zero all the job description and all that.
Well, that was you can make an amendment to the motion, but
that's what I was asking, Ron,
that was
if that's
in
okay.
In the motion.
Because I seconded the motion, but as a friendly amendment, would you?
I only assume that we would use those that Larry suggested on there.
Sure.
I mean, that's the only thing I know. HR, you got them listed, so.
Yeah. So that's okay?
All right.
So you're going to make that as a motion?
As if I said a friendly amendment to his motion.
Friendly amendment to the motion. So yep. There's a friendly amendment to the motion that says that the listed duties of the HR underneath the administrative services director job description will be forwarded to the discussion at the next labor committee meeting. Correct?
Yep.
Discussion. Seeing and hearing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion passes 5-2. Next we have the issue, get to my agenda here, sorry. Next we have the early retirement incentive policy change. City Administrator Cruz.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just indulge the council one moment on the city clerk's position, what do you, how do you want to deal with that going forward?
I did not hear any consensus of the council on anything with that, so I think, all I heard is that we're moving on the...
Okay.
There was a motion on the table that was not seconded. Then there was a motion on the table to do the HR piece, and there was nothing else talked about with that. So okay. I'm assuming that nothing else wants to move forward.
Okay.
Don't we have a city clerk?
So
Mr. Mayor and Council, the... The Administrative Services, the Supervisors Group had asked that early retirement policy be added to their contract with a 30-day notice. And in conversations with the negotiating team, it was suggested that that was not something that they wanted to pursue. And then it went to eventually elimination of the program. And so in front of you is a copy of a two-phase program. Qualify employees who give written notice January 1, 2017. The employee will receive $430 per month. An employee who gives notice between January 1, 2017 and prior to July 1st, 2017 will receive $300 a month. An employee serving notice of retirement after July 1st, 2017 will not be eligible for any early retirement program. I sent out a number of communications from staff. As you can imagine, this is a very concerning topic to many. And with that, I'll open and turn it back to you, Mr. Mayor.
Council, you have council action request in front of you. And you have the recommendation in the background and the financial consideration. And council, what's your wishes? Councilmember Anderson.
This isn't something that's new. I mean, this was discussed, I think, for the 14 budget. I know I mentioned it, but that was at that time. It was something that we should be looking at. It was mentioned again last year, so it's not something new. It kind of was maybe had a little impetus here recently with the request for that to go into a contract. So this isn't a new topic. It's a very sensitive, very sensitive topic, and we need to be sensitive to the employees and to the workplace. To me, it's a policy that's been out there that's probably outdated. I don't think that there's many places out there that have this sort of a benefit. Now, the question to me is, what's the right way to wind it down? And I think that's the discussion that we should have.
Seeing and hearing nothing. Councilmember Christensen, followed by Anderson.
What is the major effect this is going to have?
You don't like it?
Mr. Mayor and Council, there's approximately 38 employees that are eligible for the program. That's approximately one-third or 40% of our workforce. Whether those employees decide that they want to go is unknown, but it could be a significant reduction in our employees in a short time frame, which would be bad.
Councilmember Anderson.
Well, you know, I'm just surprised I'm not hearing anything from any of the other council members as to whether or not this is good idea or bad idea. I have an idea in my head if we want to pursue this further. You know, I'm really concerned about losing employees in a really concentrated period of time, and I'm wondering if we could extend this essentially through maybe 2017, with the caveat that we would want to know by the end of this year of the employee's intent to do the early retirement. That would give us time to do the hiring. We would know what we would need to hire. It gives the employees time to think about it. I mean, we were asked to put in 30 days in a contract. We're giving them essentially from now until the first of the year to think about it and see if that's right for them, and would have another year to actually pulled the trigger, so to speak, still having to give us the 90-day notification of their intent to retire. So I don't know. That might be another alternative. But I'm not sure I'm hearing any appetite for it. Or
Councilmember Nelson.
This has been on, I know, been on the radar for a while. I was confused with the information that was in the email, and I think it might be important for us to hear. This came from an employee. I'd like to hear from administration if the information that's in this email is correct. I'd like to have a better understanding of why people would choose to take this for that amount of money. What are they going to be able to do with PERA? So I'd like a little bit more information as to, because it seems to me this is different than what we had talked about before, and so I'd just like clarification from administration as to some of these facts and figures that are in here, whether you agree with them and how it would affect some of our employees. But, you know, I think I'm in agreement that we have to do something, and I think this has been discussed as long as I've been on the council. I don't know quite what it is, and if it is as dramatic as what's been proposed to us, or if this is just, you know, so I think we need some additional clarification other than just the monthly figure. And how does it work? If they retire early, what do they get? How does it work from that standpoint? And then a review of these for clarification and to see if you actually agree with this information that's in here.
Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Nelson, there is a lot of information there, and there are a lot of unknowns. For most employees that have met the rule of 90, they do have the option to retire, and this would be a significant benefit for them. Obviously, if there was an employee that was hired when they were 20 and they have their 20 years in at the age of 40, it wouldn't make sense for them to, you know, to with PRA to retire. It's real hard to get in the minds of all the employees. Some people, you know, can leave at an early age and retire, and they have other things they want to do. You know, we just don't know. There's 38 that qualify. I think the numbers in there are, you know, Steve Okins put those numbers together, and I trust that they're right. But how many would go is a total unknown. There's some people that they just enjoy working, and regardless of the program, they'll work till they're, you know, qualify for Medicare, and they will not have a liability. There's a, you know, significant amount of money in the fund. It's fully funded.
You're agreeing with the numbers that you've reviewed these, and you agree with these numbers. And I mean, there was some questions I guess I had with adding and subtracting and who qualifies and who doesn't, and with all of that. So you've reviewed all the detail, and you're comfortable with that?
I've reviewed what you see there. And I would ask Mr. Okins to supplement with comments right now, if he would.
Well, I don't want to have another discussion. I guess I'm uncomfortable that this appears to be something different than what was prepared before. So I'm asking you to get back to us with some additional information and how it would affect, you know, overall.
I can tell you the number of people that would qualify, but I can't tell you beyond that what their intentions are. I have no way to find out, but I can do that.
So is it a requirement of the program that you have to reach the PERA eligibility for retirement? In other words, you have to have the rule of 90, or you have to be 55 per the police and fire?
It's my understanding that that's past practice with the city, that you have to retire.
Okay. So you have to retire and you have to take a retirement.
That's my understanding.
Okay. And then, so if you have an employee, use an example that you use, that's 20 years old, that works 20 years and is then eligible for the benefit. So they would not qualify for this because they would not be drawing the retirement unless they do the retirement.
You know, I don't know if there's a way before age of 55 to take the reduced amount. I can't answer that.
I guess I'm seeing people shaking their head yes and no. I think we need to know. And I think we need to know for our employees' sake and for our sake how this works. And so I guess if that means tabling it for tonight and asking for further clarification from administration with some of those details, then I would make a motion to table it for tonight.
There's a motion on the table. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and second at the table. All in favor of the motion to table, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign?
No.
The motion passes. I heard 4-1. Unless there's anything else to come before the committee, assessing update.
Mr. Mayor and Council, this request for council action was sent out yesterday, and anyway, in essence, it was respectfully requested that the council consider the following recommendation. Pursuant to the city charter, call for a hearing on Monday, May 16, 2016, to consider abolishing the assessing department within the city of Willmar. So that's a question. I would recommend that on Monday you consider setting a public hearing for May 16th, and at that time consider your interest in abolishing the assessing department. In the car report, there's a lot of the pertinent information that you'll need to make your decision.
So do we need a motion tonight then?
No, you can make it on Monday if you so choose. This is going to be a labor committee meeting where you got an update, and so I don't want to bring it to the council and have it be a surprise.
Okay. Council discussion? Councilmember Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we're all assuming that the wheels are in motion to have this transferred at that particular date. All the duties by this hearing and approval of the council, all of our assessing will be turned over to the county.
Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Christensen, we're working with the county now on May 3rd, pending if the city sets this hearing, then the county board will likely authorize accepting the assessing duties. We're in ongoing conversations right now with the union on how that transition is going to happen. I have a meeting with them tomorrow, so there's still details to be worked out between now and the 16th. But as far as the county and city are concerned, the numbers in your report should accurately reflect the cost to the city in transferring those duties, with the exception that will be added 40 hours of consultation time by our contracted assessor at $50 an hour, equals $2,000.
I guess my question is, if we abolish it, we have a hearing and we move to abolish it and they don't accept them, but we need to know that this is going to happen. And then as far as our employees, how that's handled, is it that in the mix too? It must be.
It's in the document that we received yesterday that spells that out. And, you know, I guess on this issue, the county has always been consistent. It's the council that has changed their mind. So I think if the council's consistent in conversations that I've had, that they're favorably moving forward with this, as long as the council doesn't change its mind. Mr. Cruz.
Mr. Mayor and Council, the public hearing is to take employee and public comment, and if the council so chooses, you could vote after the 16th to abolish it. But the effective date that's talked about is July 5th, that transaction change would happen.
Okay. Apologize for not reading the entire document, but I have a daughter and two granddaughters here from Salt Lake City, and I didn't read it all.
Councilmember Johnson.
Yeah, my question is goes to our employees. How, you know, I understand that you're, you know, talking with the unions, but my question would be, well, as the county agreed to take those employees and add them to their assessing staff, and do we have any, assurances or whatever you want to call them, I'm not going to say guarantees, but, you know, good faith.
Mr. Cruz?
That they'll keep those people.
I'm sorry.
You know,
I'm
I want to make sure employees have some protection.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Johnson, right now it's proposed that the city would officially lay the department employees off. Arrangements have been made for them to interview at the county, and it's all likely if those interviews go well that they will have an opportunity to work with the county. If they don't do that, then there are means in the contract that they could stay with the city.
I understand what their labor rights are, but my question then just goes to if they were to elect to want to continue doing assessing work and would do it for the county, you know, I guess my contact.
I think that all looks favorable, assuming they can reach agreement.
Yeah, well, that's my concern.
Anything else to come before the good of the order? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion's been made and seconded. We're adjourned.
I don't think we're making it home too important. Meeting.
Pardon?
I know.
The job description as it would have been.
That's what I meant, but it's not the same as the way it functions now.
No, why wouldn't we have done that?
Well, that'll be on the next labor committee meeting.
And I'd like to know how I can have input into the labor committee meeting.
Well, if I'm the chair, I'll just make another full one. Well, this is one.
Well, what should I ask for? As a full council?
Sorry, Andrew.
Bringing me in the full.
All right.
So I was taking notes. I was going to see if I could get up and see him.
I don't remember.
Email that Glenn's when he said he didn't want any business.
Was that done before?
Yeah, it's been 20 years. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, indeed. I totally understand and understand. In my world, I didn't even get to say it because of the paper. And I did this on a different one when we were negotiating another contract. But when you have a professional employee,
it's always something.
Do a job for the city.